Santushtasyam, of one who is fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Nirihasyam, who does not endeavor for his livelihood. Sva, own. Atma aramasyam, who is self-satisfied, yet that sukham, happiness, kutam, where, tat, such happiness, kamalobhenam, impelled by lust and greed, dhavatam, of one who is wandering here and there, artha ihaya, with a desire for accumulating wealth, disha, in all directions. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who is content and satisfied and who links his activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing in everyone's heart, enjoys transcendental happiness without endeavoring for his livelihood. Where is such happiness for a materialistic man who is impelled by lust and greed, and who therefore wanders in all directions with a desire to accumulate wealth? So there's no purport to this verse, so we will read two more verses, and then the purport, Srila Prabhupada. For a person who has suitable shoes on his feet, there is no danger even when he walks on pebbles and thorns. For him everything is auspicious. Similarly, for one who is always self-satisfied, there is no distress. Indeed, he feels happiness everywhere. My dear King, a self-satisfied person can be happy even with only drinking water. However, one who is driven by the senses, especially by the tongue and genitals, must accept the position of a household dog to satisfy his senses. purport. According to the Shastras, a Brahmana or a cultured person in Krishna consciousness will not enter anyone's service to maintain body and soul together, and especially not for satisfaction of the senses. A true Brahmana is always satisfied. Even if he has nothing to eat, he can drink a little water and be satisfied. This is only a matter of practice. Unfortunately, however, no one is educated in how to be satisfied in self-realization. As explained above, a devotee is always satisfied because he feels the presence of the Super Soul within his heart and thinks of Him 24 hours a day. That is real satisfaction. A devotee is never driven by the dictations of the tongue and genitals, and thus he is never victimized by the laws of material nature. Om Agyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Goramani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacere Shitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadara Shosari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Santushtasya Nirihasya Satmaramasya Yatsukam Kutastat Karma Lobena Davato Ritheyaha Disha. One who is content and satisfied, who links his activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, residing in everyone's heart, enjoys transcendental happiness without endeavoring for his livelihood. Where is such happiness for a materialistic man who is impelled by lust and greed, and who therefore wanders in all directions with a desire to accumulate wealth? So as this very chapter has been entitled, The Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. So this is another instruction pointing out to the state of consciousness wherein somebody is fully absorbed in Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the aim of ultimately every civilized human being to be achieved. We see in the scriptures that whatever we do, whatever activity we perform, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yat tapasyasi konte amat kurushvata darpanam. Krishna is explaining that whatever is to be done, whatever is to be given away, whatever is to be performed, anything should be basically offered to Lord Krishna. Now we know that Krishna doesn't require anything. Krishna is real Atma Rama. He is self-satisfied. And he doesn't require anything from anyone, but we require to sacrifice something in love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We require to develop a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because without Supreme Personality, we are incomplete. And therefore we will never be happy and satisfied under any kind of circumstance. So Krishna, knowing that we require that relationship with Him, mercifully presents the process initially of Varnashram Dharma to connect any kind of activity that person may be desiring according to his conditional nature, according to his natural proclivities, and therefore engage them in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, automatically, the person will advance towards such kind of higher consciousness wherein he can be fully satisfied in relationship with the Supreme Absolute Person. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a statement also that if any person basically performs all kinds of regulative activities and duties, but doesn't become Krishna conscious or doesn't use it for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then therefore all these kind of different activities are in vain. There's no use of any of those. Because again, ultimate goal is not achieved. We may be performing all different kinds of activities, looking for happiness, searching for satisfaction, but at least until we finally relate to the Absolute, we won't find any satisfaction. Because by nature, we are Sat, Chit and Ananda. We are eternal, we are full of knowledge, and we are blissful. This is our nature. And anything in this world is just the contrary. It's Asat, Achit and Nirananda. So it's a contradiction. I am, by the nature, Anandamaya Vyasat. I am the living being who is satisfied, who is looking for the happiness. But I'm not getting that happiness. I'm not getting that satisfaction. So it's a contradiction. I'm the spirit soul, but I'm in this temporary body, which is not going to last. And even if, let's say, some circumstances are very favorable, still I cannot get satisfaction because it's not going to be the lasting satisfaction. So I'm eternal, but I have to deal with something that is temporary. And as long as we develop attachment to something that is temporary, it is inevitable to experience some kind of suffering and frustration and disappointment. So this is what scriptures are pointing out, that we have to learn how to discriminate between what is Sat and what is Asat. This is the real purpose of human existence and human intelligence, which is available, of course, only in the human body. As long as we don't discriminate what is temporary, what is permanent, therefore there is no any question of satisfaction in this material world. And therefore, in the name of a human existence, we are going to run around, like Srila Prabhupada would give example, like cats and dogs on the four legs. But human beings will only do that in a little more sophisticated way, running on the four wheels, you know, here and there, very, very busy, searching for that satisfaction. So that satisfaction, again, it's only possible in relationship to somebody who is possessing that absolute bliss, absolute knowledge, and who is eternal. There is no question of trying to find any kind of satisfaction in something that is temporary and something that is material. Because we know the spirit soul cannot actually relate to material energy. It is an illusion. It is like mixing oil and water. You may mix the oil and water, but the oil will always surface out. You know, you cannot mix them actually. So to mix spirit and matter is just incompatible. It's not possible. So any kind of endeavor aimed and is in that direction is not going to yield the desired fruit. It's going to end up in frustration. And even though we might be performing so-called practice of different kinds of dharmas or different kinds of duties, still again we won't find satisfaction. Because it's not going to be aimed at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is still going to be incomplete. To some degree we might progress, but we won't progress far. So this is why it should be understood that the ultimate aim, Nate vidu svarga gatim hi Vishnu, has been stated, the ultimate aim of all the activities, of all the processes, especially the Varnashram Dharma process, is to satisfy Lord Krishna. So why do we have to satisfy Lord Krishna? Because now we are all focused on satisfying ourselves. We are so busy trying to satisfy, as here later on it has been stated, our tongue, trying to satisfy our genitals, trying to satisfy all the other senses. We are so busy running around looking for that satisfaction. But we are not finding that satisfaction. And we are so busy, impelled by the modes of the material nature, by the force of the modes of the material nature. We are pushed so strongly. And still, we are not finding that satisfaction. We see nowadays how people are very busy. Very, very, very busy. Working very hard, looking for that satisfaction. And they just waste the whole life practically. Which, you know, it's so valuable, as we understand, for nothing. Practically, really for nothing. Their only satisfaction is that there is some agitation, there is something that is happening in my dull, boring life. So they think this is something that is very exciting. You know, that I have to be impelled by this mode of passion, by lust and greed, and run around searching for satisfaction. You know, there's no need to search for satisfaction. Satisfaction is already there within the heart. Satisfaction is here. It's already present. But we have lost the real sight of it. And we are looking in a completely wrong direction. Dvasupadna, like two birds sitting on the branch of the tree. But he knows the famous analogy. But it's a very appropriate analogy because it really points out that Krishna is here. We don't have to look for Krishna. Even if we practice, say, some kind of spiritual process, we don't have to look for Krishna far. Krishna is already here. He's present within our own heart. But we are so busy eating those bitter and sweet fruits from the material tree that we are just not noticing somebody who is the most closest to us. We are concerned with so many different relationships, something that is so far, so distant, but we are not interested in developing that relationship with the Supreme Lord who is just next to us immediately, who is the closest. This is very interesting. This is like another verse, Pashyanapina Pashyati, Srimad Bhagavatam states, that, you know, we are so enamored by all these different fallible soldiers that we put our faith in, that they're going to bring us satisfaction, that they're going to bring us some kind of protection, shelter, happiness within the life. But actually they're all fallible soldiers. They cannot protect us in any moment. It's complete illusion. Like once there was one devotee traveling on a plane and there was some turbulence in the air, and it was pretty kind of alarming, and it has been announced that, you know, we might come to the point of crashing down. It's a very heavy storm and the plane was really dancing in a way, so people started panicking, and that devotee, the Prabhupada disciple, said, Krishna, if it's your desire something to happen, Mare Krishna Rakhi Ke, Rakhi Krishna Mare Ke, then whatever it is. And he really tried to focus, sincerely focus on chanting his japa, hearing the holy names. And he saw that everybody else, somehow he couldn't fail to observe, because there was just big panic within the plane. And then there was some middle-aged couple, and then the wife kind of hugged the husband and, you know, hoping for some protection. And he said, you know, he reflected upon this later on, and he said, what an illusion. If the plane crashes down, what's the use? Who can protect, you know? Yeah. My husband will save me, or my wife will save me, or this one will save me. Where is the question of being saved? It's a complete illusion. It can only be saved by the holy name. That's the only shelter. Yeah. Like Krishna says, Kamteya pratijani hiname bhakta pranashyati. What does that verse mean? Like, Krishna says, my devotee will never be vanquished. What will not be vanquished? The body? No. The body is perishable. Body will be vanquished. And in the most dangerous situation, or whatever, anything, whatever it happens, body is going to get vanquished. It's not that Krishna in this verse is talking about the body. Krishna is talking about devotional service. That this is something that will remain. Even if something abominable happens, like Krishna speaks in earlier verse, but it doesn't matter if that devotee is still firmly fixed on his path of devotional service. Because wherever he stopped, and no matter what he did, in the most abominable activity, Krishna will protect that devotional service. So therefore, in the most dangerous circumstance and situation, no matter what happens again, because ultimately we understand body cannot be saved, so who cares about the body? But what we have to care is about devotional service. So what we have to care now, at least whatever moments we have, let us focus on this devotional service. Body is going to perish anyway. And it's a blessing actually to know when that is going to happen. When the body will perish. It's a great blessing, it's a boon. At least, even if you have last 5 minutes, fine, at least, you know, at least try to focus the mind upon the holy name. So this is what Krishna protects. This is how Krishna gives us the shelter, trying to focus on the chanting, trying to focus on the service, trying to focus on something again that we are relating to that eternal relationship, to develop that satisfaction with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Santushta, that satisfaction. Yayatma suprasidati. To attain that eternal satisfaction. So therefore we practice this process, and therefore whatever we do, again, it's aimed at pleasing Krishna. So Krishna doesn't require anything. He doesn't absolutely require anything, but He is so merciful that He expands Himself in so many various kinds of forms just to attract and just to satisfy so many different living beings who have different kinds of desires, who have different kinds of requirements and needs in relationship to the Supreme Person. So this is, to that extent, Krishna is ready to extend Himself towards each and every living being. And as we know, we all have a unique relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's amazing. How can you conceive of that? It's just almost impossible. You have your own unique relationship with Krishna. Estimate so many billions of people and so many, who knows, trillions and unlimited number of living entities that exist, not just within this universe, but in universes and the spiritual world, each and everyone has unique relationship with Krishna. Now try to figure out that. Isn't that amazing? We can't imagine even. We can't figure it out. So Krishna is so merciful. So He doesn't expand Himself because He wants to be worshipped by each and every living being. He expands to give a pleasure to each and every living being. He's so merciful. And then we are so foolish that we reject Krishna. You know, that we are looking for something that it resembles Krishna in so many ways, but which has no any substance. And therefore, like that bird, we're just so busy in this material world, running here and there. Running after profit, running after money, running after this pleasure, running after that pleasure. So busy, 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 busy. You know, missing the real aim, actually. You know, missing the real aim of life. So this is what is the wealth of the Brahminical class of people. Why? Because Brahminical class of people is considered the highest because they are situated within the mode of goodness. And this is what Prabhupada's aim and mission for this society was. Essentially to bring everybody to the platform of the mode of goodness. Because the lower modes essentially won't allow us to understand and recognize that there is Krishna seated just next to us. We'll be so busy, passionate about this, ignorant about it also. And we won't even notice Krishna. But once you cool down a little bit, it's like, just like an experiment, any scientific experiment. If you want to conduct any experiment, You have to isolate that certain, experiment you want to perform. You have to isolate. You have to have a sealed chamber, without any influence, any other external influence practically, so that you can see what is happening within, that place itself. So that, whatever phenomena you want to try to understand, that it's not influenced by, any external influence basically. So like this, in Krishna consciousness, this is what we are trying to do. We try to, first of all, isolate ourselves also, from any kind of external influence. Of course, we can't do that in, 100%, but in one sense we can do if we tune our consciousness to the process of chanting of the holy names. And once we are successful in that, once we just completely focus on chanting the holy names and we don't notice anything else, it's possible. Like that famous example of the arrow maker, right? Everybody knows that example. He was so focused on making the arrow, how sharp it is, then later on he was, asked whether he noticed the, royal procession. He said, which royal procession? He was so fixed and focused on making that arrow sharp that he didn't even notice, such a light nose and big festivities happening on the street, passing just practically next to him. So in this way, yes, it is possible to be focused and fixed on Krishna and not be distracted by anything else. So that kind of state we can achieve. So, but once we do achieve it, once we attain this kind of focus and in practicing the process that will enable us to relate to Krishna, then essentially we won't be disturbed by any lower modes or anything else that is happening around us, that will affect our consciousness. So being therefore in the mode of goodness enables us more. It helps us, especially when we are now at the level of Vaidhi Bhakti. We need it very much. We need to isolate ourselves. We cannot just venture outside and say, I'm so focused in Krishna consciousness, I can do anything. I can be exposed to whatever is happening in this material world and nothing will affect me. Well, that's not true. It will affect us. We have to be careful. Definitely. Any kind of sight, any kind of sound, any kind of smell, it will agitate the mind. It will inevitably agitate the mind. So we have to be cautious, especially in the beginning. And even later on, should never play with Maya, should never play with fire, because we can get burned heavily. So therefore we have to treasure this kind of understanding of a necessity to come to the higher mode of the goodness. Because as soon as we come out, we'll get affected. We'll get affected. Unless we are really trying to be focused on our service. Yeah. Let's say if book distribution is going on like just now, last month, you just go out and you see different people, you see different billboards, you hear different things. Unless you're really focused on how to distribute these books, the effect is going to be pretty great effect, especially association. If you're in association of people, or let's say you go home and they just tell you, you should be normal. Why aren't you normal like everybody else? Just be normal. Why you're restricting yourself in so many ways? Why you're not eating this and that? Why you're not having illicit relationships? Why you're not this? Why you're not that? Why you're not interested in latest cricket news? You're not, just be normal a little bit. What's the problem with you? What's the matter? But even that, will have a very tremendous effect on our consciousness. We may say, oh, I'm not indulging in this, I'm not interested in this, but it will have an effect. It's like the nuclear explosion. Nuclear explosion will have some effect. It may have some immediate effect. But even worse than that is the nuclear fallout. is the radiation that follows. It spreads much wider and it lasts much longer. So even though you might be not directly exposed to the nuclear blast, or you may not directly be there, you may not be engaged, but just that radiation, just that vibration, it's very, very destructive itself. And it will affect our consciousness. And it will flip us from that mode of goodness. It will agitate the mind. We know the whole process of spiritual life and practice is to have the mind steady. Right? Keep it steady. Equilibrium. Not being disturbed. This is whole Bhagavad Gita Krishna is pointing out. Equanimity. Being equal. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor. So many verses. Be equipoised. Be steady in your devotional service. Don't allow yourself to become agitated or develop desire for this or that. It's not worthy. And just drag you down to the lower modes and to hell. Trividam narakasidam dvaram nashanam atmanamaham tatakroba tatalobas tasmadetat trayam tyajit. Last, it will just invoke your last anger and greed, and you're lost by any contemplation, dhyayato vishayam punsa, and so on. Fall down is inevitable. So don't allow that. So even if we are not directly exposed, you know, we may get affected. So we have to be conscious of that. And therefore we have to treasure somehow that kind of a isolated, you know, environment where we can focus, we can come to the modes of goodness. We have to strive for the mode of goodness, because from there spiritual practice becomes much easier. You know, I like that quote where it stated, the more, you know, strict you are in your Krishna consciousness, the more easy it becomes to practice it. Yeah. The more you're serious about your sadhana and practice, the more easier the whole process becomes. You know, it is little tapasya. Well, that's with everything. Yata dagra vishamiva. Yeah. Parinama mritopama. In the beginning it is, you know, it's difficult. It's bitter. Mode of goodness. That's the nature of mode of goodness. But later on it's nectar. So this is where it's only possible to achieve satisfaction when we come to that state of mode of goodness, where we are not agitated and therefore we are very peaceful and very satisfied. Satisfied from within. Because there is nothing external that can satisfy the soul. That's that illusion that we are all in. There's nothing external. That's complete illusion. Yeah. Like there was the story. There are several of them with different, you know, Brahminical persons like Chanakya Pandit, or there was that one Brahmana in Bengal. I forget who he was. But that Krishna, what was his name from Krishna Nagar? He was a king. Anyway, in different cases, they offered to Brahmanas, we can give you this, we can give you that. And the reply was, no need. We don't require. We are simply satisfied. We have a rice field. We have a tamarind tree, we'll just mix this together. We are happy, we are satisfied with that. So how to be satisfied with little? This is the heart of Krishna consciousness. We don't require much. And we see how much people acquire, and still they're not happy and satisfied. There's no satiation. It's impossible to have satiation in the lower modes of material nature. Because even what you have, you won't be able to enjoy. Just like sometimes, you know, when your mind is disturbed and agitated, when we have a feast, it's going to be feast tomorrow evening, everybody. You know, it's a birthday, Radha Das Bihari. So, you know, everybody sits down and they start serving prasadam. And then somebody, you know, you get the rice, but then sabji is missing, you know, it goes around. Hey, herbal, you know, come here, you know. Sabji is missing, how can you eat rice? You know, already Sharira Vija Jal is gone. And then you get sabji, you know, start eating sabji, but then puri is not there, puri, this guy is somewhere there, you know, hey Hari Bol, I missed this role completely, you know, what are you guys doing? Then the puri comes, you know, and then, you know, you already finished this, then another, you know, like, you're so much in anxiety looking for this and there, I already finished what is on your plate, but it's never complete. And then rasgulla is coming, yeah, then, you know, then after half an hour, sweet rice, added, you know, it's like all mixed up. And you finish all your plate completely and you practically didn't need anything. You didn't have feast, you didn't taste prasadam, you just completely missed it out. It was just there in front of everything. You just require a little mode of goodness, little patience, you know. But not being in anxiety, you know, come these days, you know, it's like... So you just had it, but you didn't. Both in the same way, simultaneously. You just missed it. So this is how people are so distracted in this world. Everything is there. You just have to have a proper consciousness. You have to bring in it, the mode of goodness, and you have to relate it to Krishna, who is the source of all of this. Then you can taste the Krishna, because that's the taste you're really looking for. Then you can be self-satisfied. There's no question of searching for anything anywhere else. You know, being so busy, you know, wandering around. And then being finally disappointed and frustrated. You know, even the wealthiest person, if there is, you know, there's no satiation. There's no satiation, no matter what they have. This is why renunciation is one of the opulences. You know, it's not just wealth is the opulence, fame is the opulence. Beauty is the opulence. Strength is the opulence. You know, we're all so enamored by this. What about renunciation? Why the brahmanas are considered the topmost people? Of course, not in the materialistic society. In Vedic society. Why? Because they're renounced. Why they're renounced? They don't need anything. They're so satisfied with Krishna within their heart. That's all. This is why the renunciation is the greatest quality actually. Because they have everything. You have Krishna, you have everything. You don't have Krishna, you have nothing. And you're nothing. And you'll become who knows what after this lifetime if you miss the chance. So it's not difficult to be, you know, satisfied if we practice the process. It's not, you know, to become first of all a human being. And what if Prabhupada said it's a human being? One who follows four regulative principles. At least come to that level. And one who comes to that level, definitely then, you know, comes to the level of goodness. And from there again, we practice Krishna consciousness and we can relate and connect to Krishna, which is source of all happiness. Rasa Vaisaha. He's the reservoir of all the pleasure that we are looking for. So we don't have to look for that anywhere else. We just have to cool down that mind, you know, by association, by a little sadhana, a little austerity in the beginning, and then we can start tasting the nectar. Because nectar is there, we are just missing it. We are so enamored by so many other things. That's because of this passion and ignorance, impelled by the modes of the passion and ignorance. So this is why it's explained here that, you know, somebody who is focused, somebody who is, you know, in those higher modes, he can really be satisfied and happy, whereas somebody who is just running around in all directions in for desire, being pushed by lust and greed, will never be happy and satisfied. You know. So therefore, to achieve this, we also have to make endeavor from our own side, and we also again, as I said, should place ourselves in circumstances where we can allow others to help us in our advancement in spiritual life. Alone, being bombarded, you know, with this nuclear blast, it's almost impossible. It's very difficult. It's impossible. Actually, it's impossible. But by the association and somehow everybody pushing a little bit together in the same direction, it becomes much easier. It becomes much more easier to achieve that kind of higher taste, rasavarjam rasopyasyam, in Krishna consciousness, and therefore being fully satisfied. You know, we don't require much. We really don't require much. You know, and even just through chanting, just imagine so exalted devotees, just through chanting, all they care about is just the holy name, the sweetest than anything else. Just through the holy name, they don't require anything else. They're not concerned with anything. For us, it's almost unimaginable. How is that possible? How is that possible? And they're far more happier and satisfied than anybody else again. Just by the holy name. So, today is a very auspicious day also. So there'll be a lot of holy name to hear and relish. At the Bhaktivedanta school, anniversary of the installation of the Lord Jagannath. So it's another opportunity for us to come to that higher level and taste that high relationship of the special mercy of Lord Jagannath to all. So, I will stop here. Are there any comments or questions? Yeah, maybe you can ask for Mike. Because that's at the end, a little earlier or whatever.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
Sometimes we want to do something, the service is given. So we have some idea to do the service, but the other devotee comes and he tells, you know, you have to do like this only. We have some idea. So at that time what happens? Our minds get agitated. So you are telling the whole process is about controlling the mind, make it steady. But at that time, this idea goes, for some time it remains in the heart. So what to do in that situation is, how to control the mind.
Well, first of all, we have to understand who is the person who gives us different instruction. If it's somebody who is senior, then there's no question of, you know, arguing. It's just the natural etiquette. And it becomes very easy in that sense. You just accept it. No matter what the result is. Even if it's not the most appropriate manner of performing the service. But you're safe because you're performing it for sake of Krishna. And that person takes the responsibility for the, you know, the method of performing that certain service. So you're safe. You have nothing to lose. You advance, even if everything turns out inappropriate at the end. So you have no burden about it. So you can be very peaceful. You know, if it's somebody else suggesting, somebody who's on your level, then you can, you know, consider, maybe, okay, but, you know, again. And then somebody who's junior, it depends. Depends who it is and what it is. But we also shouldn't be too attached to do things the way we want to do things. This is why there's a whole science of understanding how to become, you know, independent in Krishna consciousness, independently thoughtful. You have to achieve the level of independence, not to be dependent too much on so many things in terms of performing devotional service, that you can't perform devotional service unless, you know, so many requirements are met or whatever. You have to learn how to become independent. But then within that independent mentality, you have to also learn how to be interdependent to achieve the synergy where, you know, you can achieve much greater results together with someone else or by the advice of someone else rather than by, you know, performing activity yourself or service yourself. So then the impetus and the result will be much greater. So therefore you can come to the point of understanding that if somebody is giving me some advice, you know, maybe there is something, you know, in that advice as well. And maybe can help me not to do my service better. So just becoming a little humble also, that's also something that's required. Not just being very, you know, like defensive, thinking that, you know, if I don't do it the way I do it, then, you know, I won't be able to do devotional service. And then what will be the result? So maybe just, again, coming to a little more of goodness, and at least trying to consider, maybe, you know, the devotee has been inspired by Krishna and maybe whatever he is saying might have some sense and might be useful. So at least let me consider. Not necessary that I have to do it, but at least you can consider. You can empathize, you know. You can at least consider. Or put yourself in the, so to say, shoes of that person trying to understand what he wanted to achieve by performing service in such a way. So maybe you can see it from the different angle and see something positive about it. That's more of goodness again, at least, yeah.
Hare Krishna. So, we hear sometimes that when one becomes advanced in a Krishna consciousness, so slowly, slowly his material suffering also reduces. So, is this due to only the advanced consciousness that he don't feel external pains or material pains, or sometimes the situation also for the devotee can change?
What you said last?
I am asking that the devotee don't feel suffering.
No, last so, sentence what you said.
Or is it that material situations also can change for the devotee?
Well, essentially it won't change. We all have our prarabdha karma. As long as we don't become pure devotees, you know, you'll have to deal with, you know, whatever your karma is, whatever the modes of are going to affect us. But whatever it does affect us, you know, we're not going to be affected, hopefully, if we develop that state of consciousness that, you know, our service is priority. Yeah. So you won't be affected. That's why, what's that verse? Where devotee is not affected by anything external, basically. It's just focused. Yeah, I can't remember now. Huh? Like a tortoise? No, that's more referring to senses. Yeah, devotee can be in heaven or hell, that's also fine. Anyway, whatever it is now. My mind is all somewhere else already now since class is over. But the point is that when you're filled with Krishna again, when you're focused on your devotional service, then you know, any external circumstance won't divert you from that. You can be Sthitadhir Muni, you know. Come to the level of Sthitadhir Muni, but that's of course very high level. At least we have to strive for it. You know, on our level, definitely, while practicing Vaidya Bhakti, we will be definitely distracted. You know, and then, now whether you want to dwell on that distraction or not dwell on that distraction, at least consciously you should know, at least theoretically you should know, that better we don't dwell on that distraction. Distractions are always going to be there, but don't contemplate those distractions. Like when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one of the tips for good chanting is, don't worry how bad your previous round was. Don't dwell on that. Don't also, you know, dwell on how my future round is going to be. Forget about that. Focus on right now. Focus on the present. Because present is goodness. Past is ignorance. Future is passion. So whatever kind of distraction, was it there or it's going to come, doesn't matter. You focus right now. What is my consciousness right now? Am I conscious of Krishna? You know, and in that consciousness, therefore, devotee, no matter what happens, he gets the credit for his effort. He gets the credit for his practice of Krishna consciousness. And that's how he's going to advance. No matter what karma is, no matter what external circumstances are, he won't be affected by that. Just focus on right now. Am I Krishna conscious right now? Don't think what happened in the past, I wasn't, or this or that, or maybe what will happen in the future. Forget about this. Focus right now. Be again in the mode of goodness. And by cultivating this, we'll come to that platform. And we do come to that platform. But you have to cultivate. You just have to cultivate. You'll fail thousands of times, doesn't matter. Rise again thousands of times. Cultivate. And Krishna will give you more and more taste, and you'll become more and more steady. And you'll fall lesser times. Yeah, is that okay? Okay, so we all have to go. So thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.